You're kidding, right?
Did you say steroids?
No. We've seen the television commercials. I couldn't believe it. That passed for an ID at Byerly's.
Stanley Hubbard will cover all checks, right?
Yeah. Stanley's good for it. Yeah.
You know, let's. In fact, you mentioned cold March weather. Let's listen to a clip. This is actually from March 19th, 1982. Just when you think that winter had escaped us, it came back.
Eyewitness News, the Northwest's most complete, comprehensive, and up-to-the-minute coverage, with meteorologist Dennis Feltkin, sportscaster Rob Lear, and anchorman Stan Turner.
Good evening, everyone. Cindy Brucato is on vacation, and I think her timing is very good. If for some mad reason you were thinking of putting away your skis and winter clothes, forget it. Another winter storm is heading our way, and it appears to be a big one. So let us check in right away with Dennis Feltkin, who is keeping track of things up in KSTP Weather Services. Dennis?
Stan, the storm has not gone away. It is still winding up in the southwest. And the latest satellite photograph just down from space confirms the story. The area of low pressure, that winter storm, is now in New Mexico, but there's a massive cloud shield well ahead of it. As you can see, those clouds have indeed moved into the upper Midwest. And because of the potential for heavy snow and high winds here in the state of Minnesota, we have winter storm watches for
you. Couldn't even go to studio, Dennis, because you were locked in the weather studio.
That's right. That's what we designed it for. There's that March blizzard again.
And the best part is, Dennis, there is a staff meteorologist working right behind you. You're on camera up in the war room, and there's about five people behind you scurrying with reports and data and computers.
And one of those meteorologists was actually sitting at a video switcher that we had in the racks. And we were the only – what would happen is during that – whenever we did something out of the weather war room – the master control room would actually give control of the video to us up in the weather office, and we would switch up there between the different weather graphics and weather effects because we had our own camera up there. And to this day, I know of no other television station that did that then nor would do that today. We weren't a union shop, so we could get away with that pretty easily.
No, and none that I've seen in the many hours of video that I've mined and scoured through. And the best part also is for looking at the stuff 30 years later is the graphics, because graphics were pretty new. I mean, you were still doing the grease pen and charts, as you said, in the Chiron initially, but having interactive maps showing the reds and the colors, which are reminiscent of an Apple II computer. It was pretty new and pretty exciting, actually. And for young people as myself watching this at that point, it was very fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I consider myself very fortunate to have come through that era of the 70s when we were still using the magic marker and the plexiglass map, and to actually experience the transition over to chroma key, to computer graphics, and now today into the three-dimensional fly-through stuff. It was a fun time to be doing TV weather. It really was.
Looking back at that, just out of curiosity, could you realize that the transition was happening? Or is it something you look back on and say, oh, that was changing in the game?
Oh, we knew what was happening. And the Japanese television stations were a good decade ahead of the United States as far as graphics were concerned and everything else. So we knew that was the direction we had to go. It just took us a while at KS to really do it because it was a big investment. That was a lot of money to get those computer graphics machines. We're talking $50,000 in 1980s dollars. That's a lot of capital to put out.
Well, and the best part was at the time, being number one and having this equipment and being able to promote it, there was a lot of reason to make that investment, and you were making good use of the investments.
We were, and that is to Stanley Hubbard's credit. I'm sure he has what we refer to in meteorology as the defective weather gene. Somewhere in your body, you're what we call a weather weenie. I mean, you love weather, and I know Stanley Hubbard does that. And he really wanted to be number one in weather, and he was. There was no question about it. But that meant staying on the cutting edge of the tools that we needed to do that. That included the Doppler radar, the latest satellite imagery, and as we got into computer graphics, he made sure that we did that. And to his credit, we were able to use that to the best of our ability.
And let's not be, and as I say this respectfully, Stanley Hubbard liked to be number one in everything, and weather being part of that, obviously.
Absolutely, yes. They used a consulting firm out of Iowa, the Frank Maggott Associates, who are very big in the industry, and both Stanley and Frank Maggott, the owner, the late Frank Maggott now, is... you know, they were personal friends, and there were times I'd get summoned up to Stanley's office, and there would be the general manager, Ralph Dolan, there would be Stanley Hubbard, and there would be Frank Maggott. So those decisions were made uniformly.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to take a quick break. This is Flashback Twin Cities with our guest Dennis Felkin on KLBB Club 1220.
You know him as Dennis Felkin, TV meteorologist for Eyewitness News.
But by day, our friendly meteorologist becomes champion of the young and young at heart because he's Mr. Weather.
Hi, kids.
Hi, Mr. Weather.
If your school or social organization would like a visit from Mr. Weather, just write Mr. Weather, KSTP-TV, 3415 University Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Together, we'll make learning fun. That's team spirit.
Yeah.
I have bad news for all. Mr. Weather will not be able to make an appearance at your school because he'll be in the warmth of Florida.
Golly, that Mr. Weather campaign. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of consultants and marketing ideas, it's one of my favorite commercials I have on the website. I get a lot of good feedback on that. And
I'll bet you do.
You've told this story a couple of times, Dennis, and on our interview, but tell me a little bit about what Mr. Weather was, because I'm watching the video, and Mr. Weather's walking through a school with no ID or really anyone wondering
kind
why he's
creepy,
there.
Isn't it?
Well, you know, it was a different era.
It's creepy, yeah. Back when they were, the MAGA consultants were brainstorming, they needed a campaign, and their biggest strength in the middle 80s was weather, unquestionably. They had promoted the daylights out of it. They wanted to take advantage of that a little more. So the Maggott folks came up with this bright idea of Mr. Weather. And I had already been going to school, so what they wanted to do was go ahead and take that to another level. And they built this whole campaign around it. And I didn't feel comfortable doing the promo when we taped it one night at a local school. And when they put it together, it's like, oh, really? Are you kidding? And now I look back at it, and it's just plain icky. Just, oh.
Well, the best part is you're announced like a superhero, so it makes it all better.
Listening to it, I imagine little kids like dancing around you, throwing garlands and things at you as
yeah,
you that's stroll down the hall.
Yeah.
But you went to schools and you showed how to make little tornadoes and science experiments.
Yeah,
and...
but we had this great experiment where we explained pressure. I would heat up some boiling water, and then we would put an empty can over it. And so, of course, the air inside the can is expanding, and then we would take that can and put it in an aquarium full of ice water, and, of course, what happens? The can collapses. So we're explaining pressure and everything. And that was fine. The problem I had on a personal level was I had three very small children at home. I had three boys, twin boys, and a younger one, 15 months younger. So I had really... a big handful at home, and the Mr. Weather campaign that I agreed to said, okay, this is fine, but I can't spend all this time in the afternoon. I got to be home with my kids. So the idea was that I had some help from the production department where they would go up and set the thing up, and that saved me a good couple of hours. So I would come, and then I'd do it, and then I'd go home, and they'd strike it. Unfortunately, there was a downsizing of personnel going on at KSTP in 1985, and as a result, I had that taken away from me. So I had to tell the station manager, look, you take this away from me, we can't do this Mr. Weather campaign anymore. I can't do this. So they were yelling at me. I was yelling at them. And finally what happened was we had a part-time secretary in the weather office who was able to assist me. But that's how the Mr. Weather campaign stopped. I just could not get the support from KSTP production and management anymore for it.
Well, many of us here hope that someday Mr. Weather will make a triumphant return to the Minneapolis area.
Only in a nightmare near you.
Well, you know. So you mentioned before, and this is part of why this program exists, is people that in broadcast in the Twin Cities, they are part of our families. They're part of our lives every day, and then they go away. And I want, you know, if you don't mind, talk to us a little bit about why did you leave us? I know that Florida's great weather. I know that it's not one below there, but what made you take off?
Well, from the Twin Cities itself, you know, there's an old saying when you're married, if the wife's unhappy, everybody's unhappy. And our kids now were around school age, and we were away from family, particularly my wife's family, who lived in Atlanta. And I have been working weekends at CARE, and I was pretty much tired of weekends. And I knew as the kids got older, that was going to be a problem. If I'm working on weekends and they're going to school during the week, I'm going to see less and less of my children. So I knew I needed to get out, and I just started looking for a position elsewhere, and I ended up going to Tampa for 10 years. And it started out as a Monday through Friday position, and then the management there changed, and we downsized the weather office again, deja vu all over again.
Right.
And I ended up going back to weekends. So I was like, okay.
And just a quick side note, you left Channel 5 to go to Channel 11, and because I think a lot of people remember you as Channel 5, but you were at Channel 11 for 4 years?
I was on the air for two. I had to ride out a non-compete for, as it turned out, about 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there was a whole bunch of downsizing which was going on at KSTP. There were people who were coming into work and finding out they didn't have a job because all of a sudden their cubicle was gone.
That's always
really
a good feeling.
It happened like that. So, you know, today you'd get sued for that, but back then, you know, who knows? We knew that they were downsizing us. A person was hired. A gentleman by the name of Bob Rigobuto was hired specifically to downsize the news department and pretty much everybody else at KSTP. And the reason for that is we now had to have a budget. Stanley was very involved in his satellite company, USSB, and it required a great deal of capital.
Mm-hmm.
And so there had to be specific numbers budget-wise. And I understand that completely. It made a lot of sense. But through the whole weather thing, we went from a staff of 9 meteorologists down to 4 really, really fast. And we were never the same after that. And I was going through a contract thing, and in the early 80s, in the first contract, it was a nightmare. And I didn't want to go through that problem again. The Hubbards were very adamant that you could not have an agent negotiating your contract, and they had that rule all the way back to the days of the old man. They just didn't want to do that. But on the other end of the coin, you had to deal with them, and I'm not a lawyer in anything, so I had an agent, and they flatly refused to deal with my agent. And so I said, I'm not going to do this, and I got a call from CARE when the article came out in the newspaper. It said, hey, they don't want to talk to you? Fine, we'll talk to you.
Which, by the way,
and,
CARE was number one.
I ended up going to CARE.
CARE was doing very well. CARE was taking audience that KSTP was losing at the time.
Exactly. And Tom Kirby was the vice president of news over there, one of the finest gentlemen I ever had the pleasure to work with and to know. And he said, I remember when I got over, he said they had a 5-year plan over at CARE to become the number one station. And it happened a lot quicker than them for it. And I said, well, why? And he says, never in our wildest dreams would we think that they would throw over their number one newscaster, Cindy Brucato,
right,
and the market's top meteorologist overboard.
Right.
And so they took advantage of that real quick, and that helped to elevate them to the number one in the market very quickly.
Well, we don't begrudge you for leaving to go to Florida, after care, because it is, again, you're right now going to have a comfortable Saturday, and we're going to be jumping into frozen lakes here today. So we don't begrudge you. We do enjoy seeing you on the air occasionally here locally through the National Weather Service. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Well, my position is with the National Hurricane Center, which is part of the National Weather Service in Miami. My position is a public affairs officer, and that means I'm a spokesperson for the National Hurricane Center. So every once in a while I'll show up on camera, but, you know, I'll admit it, I'm 60 years old now. As you get into your 60s, you get a face that's made more for radio than TV. No offense, Tom, but, you know.
No, yeah.
We're deeply, deeply offended.
So,
but you're right.
So you'll hear my voice a lot. You'll see my name in print and stuff. And my job is to make sure that the message that we're trying to get out with a threatening hurricane gets to the people that need it. So I'm the go-between between the media and the National Hurricane Center. So if anybody in the media needs something from the Hurricane Center, they come to me, and I make sure they get it. The advantage that I have in this job, particularly with the TV folks, is I've been in their shoes. I know what their deadlines are. I know what their demands are. So I can make things happen a lot easier for them.
Do you hear from a lot of Minnesotans now? Because now you're back. We hear your voice, and I saw you on NBC a couple of years ago. Do you get reach outs from people from Minnesota saying, "Hey, I remember you from when you were at Channel 5 or Channel 11"?
Oh, absolutely. I'll still find an email about that, and in fact, that's kind of how I met my wife when I came down here. Quick sidebar, I got divorced in the late 90s, so I was single there for a while. And then when I was, before I joined the Hurricane Center, when I left TV, I went into the National Weather Service, and I was 3 years in Key West, and Hurricane Katrina was coming at us. And I got this call from a print reporter in the Upper Keys who needed some information on Katrina, so I gave it to her. And then I got an email back that said, "Are you the same Dennis Pilkin who was in the Twin Cities?" And I wrote back and I said, "Yeah, guilty." And long story short, we ended up dating, and I married her a couple years later.
Well, that's
and we celebrated our fifth anniversary last month.
That's great. Again, our guest is Dennis Pilkin, formerly of Channel 5 and Channel 11. I think I found the promotion, though, Dennis, that really inspired her to send you an email, and we're going to play that right now.
Okay. Minnesota weather is a very special story. That's why you need a Minnesota weather specialist to give you the full picture. Chief Meteorologist Dennis Pilkin is backed by a team of seven other meteorologists who specialize in upper Midwest weather. Channel 5, Eyewitness News, the news specialists.
See, I think right there,
that's a pretty good promo.
That was the inspiration, I think.
There you go.
So what's next? Now, you can't escape Minnesotans because now you married one, and we expect to see you back here at some point.
That is true. I've probably got about, hopefully, a good 5, 6, maybe 7 years before retirement, and the game plan is to not retire into South Florida. I really want to get out of hurricane country. I've had it. Hurricanes got me interested in weather, but you know what? Between the insurance cost and everything else, not worth it. So we want to come north. Up until about Christmas, my wife was saying, yeah, we're going to go back to Minnesota. We were up there for a couple of days right around Christmas, and we came back, and she says, "You know, I'm kind of rethinking this." And I'm looking at her like, "What? Are you kidding? You grew up there." So, but the Twin Cities is very, very, very high on our list to come back to. I mean, why would anybody not like that? Willard Scott of NBC back in the 80s had a great saying for it. He said, "The Twin Cities is a well-kept secret." And he's right. It's a terrific place to live.
No, we agree. And we, you know, come during 4th of July, and you'll think much differently when you come during 4th of July, and it's very green and very warm, and people are out having barbecues and in the park. You're going to think very, very differently. Don't come this weekend, because then you'll never come back.
Yeah, well,
it'll be the kiss of death.
Well, I want to thank Dennis Pilkin for being on today. Dennis, we have to have you on because, you know, there's just so much more we can talk about weather and about broadcasting in the 70s, 80s, and 90s and what you're doing today. So hopefully you'll come back, and hopefully we'll have you live in studio at some point.
That would be great.
And I hope that before you do retire, you get another superhero name. That'd be wonderful.
I think that when you come back here, we're going to work on the return of Mr. Weather, and I think that we'll find some more schools, and we'll get you ID'd though and badged though, so we make sure when you're walking through the school.
That's just creepy.
There
was no security then, you know.
It was a much different era. We were all more trusting of our meteorologists wandering through schools. Dennis, thank you again. We will be in touch.
All right, dude. Take care.
Have a good weekend. Again, that was Dennis Felkin of Channel 5 and Channel 11. If you want to see more of Dennis from the past, go to www.tcmedianow.com. This has been Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond. We will be back next week here on KLBB Club 1220.